Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is Cliff. Hope you're doing good today. Hey, you know, it's Saturday. I love Saturday. I get to kick my, put my feet up a little bit and hang out with you guys. So I hope you're flowing well. Hey, for those of you who are new to the program, the full title of this show is Earth Ancients, Startling New Discoveries from Our Planet's Distant Past. And for the most part, we're talking about ancient unknown history. Some of the topics are covered, history that we know about. But as the former program director for Whole Life Expo, and then there's a new show called New Living Expo here in San Francisco, I continually get volumes, books, and new authors and information and requests for interviews. Because the show is really growing, and thanks to you, it's now heard by 250,000 people around the world, which is kind of cool for me. And this is just a passion of mine. It's a total passion, a total devotion to what I've been interested in for, Jesus, probably 30-plus years, if not more. But the thing is, only having a show one day a week eliminates the possibility for a lot of really good and solid content and really interesting subject matter. So what I want to do is I want to create a second show called Spotlight Wednesdays and start airing this, if not at the end of this year, early next year. But to do this, I need to grow my production and have an intern come in so that I can have somebody review this material and kind of report back to me. Plus, I really have to get a website up, a really sophisticated website. And this is all going to cost money. So I'm going to do a crowdfunding. I have Curtis Hardung, my artist, is going to come up with a really cool design based on the Earth Ancients logo that you can probably see on Blog Talk Radio Network, or on the Facebook page, if you follow us on Facebook, Earth Ancients, the international page, or the group page, which together is over 100,000 people, which is kind of cool. But so I'm going to give everybody who's listening an opportunity to support this growth. I don't know what the pricing is going to be, but T-shirts are going to be really, really cool. You're going to want one, believe me. We're going to do a bunch of clothing, T-shirts, caps, sweatshirts. Because it's getting colder in the winter, we'll have long sleeve shirts. And for a small donation, you can support this growth. Now, when I'm talking about a website, I'm not talking about, you know, just a simple page with some information. I'm talking about archives. I'm talking about the 30 years that I have a photograph of ruins that are not, a lot of them aren't even published yet in the Yucatan Peninsula in central Mexico, which are very, very cool to look at. Plus excerpts from a couple of books I'm writing, We'll give people a chance to get a early copy of the Black Knight Satellite book that I'm trying to finish up. It's an e-book, but it's the only book out there. There is no books on the Black Knight Satellite. And for those of you who are not familiar with Black Knight Satellite, it is a anomalous unmanned struck. Well, they called it a satellite. It was actually a craft that was apparently circling the Earth for thousands and thousands of years. Now, it's been reported that this so-called satellite is still orbiting the Earth, but we're not hearing about it because NASA doesn't want people to know about it. They cannot control it. They can't shoot it down. There were reports that they tried to send one of the shuttles up to try to intercept it, but the thing has the craft has very, very high intelligence. And when I first heard about it, you might have remembered the episode we had with Duncan Lunan. And he was the one who wrote a little bit about it and the star map that was decoded from the information that came from that, so on and so forth. But I'm not going to get into that right now. You can go to the Black Knight Satellite or the Duncan Lunan interview. You can hear all about it. But the point being that there is a lot of material that you can buy to support the sponsorship of this radio show. And help me build a website that has tons of archives, has all the podcasts on there. And a website like this, the kind I'm talking about, would cost thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm only looking for a couple of grand because I can do a lot of it on my own, but it still takes a lot of programming. And I'm targeting a couple of people to help me do this. So stay tuned for that. We want to really offer you access to a lot of this information that's on this program, and a website is the best way to do it. You already have access to the audios, the episode audios, but getting the visual data, I just can't load enough of it on to Facebook. I mean, Facebook's very, very limited in its ability to provide space, and so I got to have a website. And I've been talking about it. I hope to have had it one up by this summer, just didn't happen. The funds needed were beyond my capabilities. So I'm going to reach out and go, hey guys, if you like the show, help me build a website. Let's add a second program in the during the week on Wednesday, Spotlight Wednesday. And together we can see what's happening. I believe that Earth Ancients, is one of the better programs in terms of author content. We're going to have Dr. Sam Ozimich today, Dr. Sam, speaking about the Bosnian pyramids. Next week, it's Graham Hancock, whose new book, Magicians of the Gods, is just out. And we've had everybody who is anybody on this program, and we will continue to have some. These individuals, we will have the best of the best on this program because that's what I want, and you deserve that. You deserve hearing from the top researchers and authors on the subject. So, stay tuned for announcements on this crowdfunding program next week. If you've been following the Facebook page, you'll know that this last week has been kind of interesting, and this week too. The whole notion of giants has actually continued. I have had three different people send me photographs of footprints from what amounts to individuals who are 20 feet or taller, and their footprints are monstrous. There's a new one I posted on Facebook just a few days ago that was sent to me, of a footprint on an island in Indonesia. And the individual who walked in what appears to be mud and then it solidified and turned to rock after thousands of years, was a real monster. The footprint, you can lay in the footprint. That's how big it is. A human, 6 foot tall guy can lay in the footprint. This individual must have weighed, 1,000 pounds, must have been 20 feet high or taller. And it's just amazing. These footprints are coming out of the woodworks. You know, it's like, where are they? Where are they? Why haven't they been documented and so on and so forth? And of course, we've had people talk about giants in the past, and the big question is, where are the bones? Where are the bones? Where are the remains of these individuals? And unfortunately, it's always linked to the Smithsonian. Smithsonian came around and they collected the bones and then they hid them away. You know, so all we can do is hear the researchers tell us about these bones, and they're reported in the number of articles that go back to, the time of Sir Francis Drake in the 1400s, all the way up to the early 1900s, 1920s, 1937, I think, is the last reported article that's in the giant books, the giant book that Jim Vieira and Hugh Newman wrote about that we had on the show recently. Giants on record. But and the thing is, again, where are the bones? But yesterday I posted a report that came out from a UK online magazine, it's UK Daily, that a discovery had been made of a giant dog, a mythological dog known as the devil dog or the black shuck. And what they found and what you'll see in this article is the remains of a 200-pound, 7-foot dog. And when you see the head on this guy, it's amazing. They are trying to carbon date it right now to get an idea for the true age, but it appears to be from a 13th century area where they found other artifacts that are from that time period. But they're not completely sure as to the actual date, so they're carbon dating it. You can see this devil dog, 200 pounds, 7 feet tall, on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, go to Earth Ancients, either go to the international page, I posted it there, or go to the group page, group Facebook, Earth Ancients. You'll see a reproduction of this dog, which was a monstrous dog, and the actual skeletal remains. So it's funny because I think that these things are coming up for a reason. It's time that these discoveries are presented to the public, and I'm waiting for a skeleton of an 18 to 20 foot person to show up soon. So check it out. No one's hiding it anymore. I'm glad they're very open about this. And the internet kind of helps it too, because UK Daily is kind of like the online magazine for all of England and Europe. And a lot of people in America read it too. And they have a whole science section that you should check out. So check out the devil dog or black shuck. The world of giants is coming back. God help us. Oh, boy. Today is Bosnian Pyramid Discussion Day. The interview that I did with Dr. Sam yesterday was quite eye-opening. And there isn't really a lot of production, video production, or any videos out there that are of any quality. And you can see short presentations given by Dr. Sam and others on the Bosnian Pyramid. You can see YouTube videos of them walking through the tunnels and checking out different aspects of it. But Lee Pennington is a video producer, and he has produced a video on the Bosnian pyramids. And we have Lee on the show right now. He's going to tell us a little bit about this. I'm really happy to have him because I don't know of anyone who's done any quality productions on it. So, Lee, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Cliff. Thank you very much.
Great. Hey, tell us a little bit about this video that you created and when you did it, and what's the contents all about?
Okay. In 2013, my partner Jill Baker and I went to Bosnia and spent a substantial amount of time researching and filming. We wound up doing nearly 50 hours of raw footage. And then from 2013 until the world premiere of this video, which was on the 17th of this month, just a few days ago,
right.
Was working on the editing process. One of the things that I'm from Kentucky, but like a lot near the state of Missouri, I've got to see for myself. And so when I heard about these structures in Bosnia, first thing I wanted to do is go check them out, and that's what we did. And the documentary itself is pretty comprehensive with evidence up through the year 2013.
Okay.
And this this documentary. Go ahead.
Yeah. What? Tell us what. Take us through it. What exactly did you cover? Did you get a tour with Dr. Sam, or did he give you carte blanche to kind of walk the various pyramids?
Yeah, we had carte blanche permission to go any place and interview anybody, and we did interview Dr. Sam a great deal. But we just had open opportunity to go any place, and the video covers the discovery and the Pyramid of the Sun and the Rovni tunnels underneath the pyramid. But in addition to that, it considers a couple of other things that we ran into. One was a 60,000-year-old flute. And 60,000 years ago, we were supposed to be doing not much more than grunting. But we had the opportunity to hear a Slovenian musician play a flute that was done 60,000 years ago.
Wow.
Has a three and a half octave, which is half the scale of a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing that we looked at briefly were 30,000 years ago, there were paintings done on caves that Picasso said, after seeing them, we haven't learned anything about art since. So one of the things we were looking at was that we're pretty much off on our concepts of how far history goes back and where history, mm-hmm. civilization, and people started. And I think the documentary points in that direction and covers it, and in particular about the evidence of the Bosnian pyramid, which, so far as I'm concerned, is substantial, and the carving dating is as accurate as you can get it. I mean, some of the great institutions in Europe have done that.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Dr. Sam on the
carbon dating. I want to ask you this, though, and this is something that I just realized in the photos that I've seen of you. I have a photo that was sent to me, and I think it's you and someone else standing next to a megalithic wall 20 miles away from Bosnia. And this is interesting because this wall hasn't been dated, but it looks to me like the handiwork of a sophisticated civilization. Can you tell us a little bit about that wall and where it's located?
Yeah, sure. That's De Orsen in the south portion of Bosnia, and it's been connected by archaeologists to Hellenistic culture, but that's way off base. The the final level of it, and there were several levels of it. The final level dated 1,500 years before Hellenistic culture, but the archaeologists felt nobody around Bosnia could be doing that sort of thing, and the closest one they could come up with would be the Greeks, so they called it Hellenistic. But it's much older than that. The whole settlement, I'm sure, goes back probably at the same age or even farther than Göbekli Tepe in Turkey.
Okay. Yeah, this was news to me to see these ruins because when I think of the Bosnian pyramid, it's the man-made hill formed into a pyramid. And what you showed in this general area, of course, 20 miles is not that close, but it still shows that there is or was a megalithic culture in Bosnia that has never been written about. So.
Yeah, that's very true. And we included a major segment on the Dvorsan site in the documentary. And that's, you know, it's one of those earlier dates that date back perhaps so far as the Pyramid of the Sun, but it does go back 10 or 12,000 B.C.
Okay, well, this is interesting. So tell us what is the focus of the documentary? It's do you go through the tunnels? You just report on the newest evidence of the pyramids, or what's the basis of the
documentary? Yeah, we do. You know, there was a great deal of work done post 2009, 10, 11. And 12 and 13. And the new evidence just starts after a while to become overwhelming in favor of there having been some civilization here that we just don't know anything about. One of the things that we looked at were artifacts that were being discovered, including stone effigy dolls, some with painted faces. Another thing that was discovered is some what appears to be, according to Tim Moon, the archaeologist working with it, Tim's out of New Zealand, that these figures appear to be an alphabet and writing, and they are found between the 20,000 and 30,000 year level, which again is another aspect, you know, totally off the scale. But the focus is that, well, my favorite saying is, history ain't what it used to be.
Yeah, and this is a topic that's continually being discussed by people who are classically trained but may not be holding the party line in terms of our written history. More and more research is showing that what we've been told about our history is wrong. It's not complete. And as Graham Hancock says, we are a civilization with amnesia. We've forgotten a great deal about our past, and now it's coming up, and we can't hide it anymore. It has to be discussed. So, Lee, what is the title of the video again? Where can people get a hold of it, and what is the cost? Why don't you give us those?
Okay, the title of the piece is Bosnian Pyramids Hidden History, and it's on our website, Jolie Productions, that's J-O-L-E, productions.com, and the price is $26. It's a 55-minute documentary.
That sounds like a pretty long documentary. So, well, fantastic. Thank you for joining us. I will post a little information on the Facebook page so people can grab a hold of it. Go to Facebook, go to Earth Ancients, and I'll post Lee's link to this video. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it, and much success on that.
Thank you very much, Cliff, and good to be on your program, and anxious to hear what Dr. Sam has to say today. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. So that's probably the only documentary that I know about on the Bosnian pyramids. The interview you're going to about to hear The founder of the Bosnian Pyramid, Dr. Simor Osmanić, he actually has been studying pyramids for the better part of 30 years. And you're going to hear exactly what the latest discoveries are. And it really is pretty eye-opening what he has to say. So this is the interview. I'll come back at the end and conclude the program with some information on our guest next week. Okay. Listen, I want to thank you. I've been wanting to interview you for a couple of years, and it just, for whatever reason, it just never worked out. And I appreciate what you've done, your work in Bosnia. And I have about 250,000 people that listen to the program, and lots of them ask about what you're all up about and what's going on. And I'm like, well, we'll get them on one of these days. So it's great to have you on. So,
because every year we get new stuff, more discoveries, and then the picture is getting bigger, more comprehensive, and I'm very excited. You know, 10 years after, I must admit, it's still the most exciting archaeological project in the world.
It is amazing. The funny thing about this is that, it's interesting, I read your bio. You have a business, and you're the president and founder of a business, a metal fabrication business in Houston. And how do you find time to get over to Bosnia?
Right now, I'm sitting in the office, and there's a business. I'm in Houston right now.
Well, right.
As a matter of fact, I've been having two careers all my life. One was business, and through the business career, I've been financing my research and my PhD in the Mayan world. And even this project in Bosnia, I'm the biggest donor. All my travels around the world, book writings. And I think it's a great thing because it gives me financial independence.
Once Wonderful.
Independent, then you can say what you think. You can write what you think. And that's a big difference between me and the mainstream. Mainstream is based on fear, losing the job, losing the money, losing the family and the house. I don't have those problems. I mean, it's still tough because I'm running the business and you know, it goes up and down, but, you know, it's been 25 years now. So, you know,
wow.
I got my managers, they do a lot of stuff, but still every day I'm in touch with them when I'm in Europe or Asia, wherever, you know, through the email, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
How many times a year do you actually go to Bosnia?
It's five or six times. Usually every 2 months I spend 10 days in Houston. And right now I just got here a couple of days ago. I'm going to stay here for 25 days.
Wow.
Now, by this time I'll be doing a lot of lectures, like tomorrow I'm in Austin, day after Dallas-Fort Worth, Friday, Saturday, Hot Springs, Arkansas, then beginning of December, flying to Tucson and Phoenix. So even when I'm here, I combine, you know, the project promotion and, you know, running the business.
Fantastic. Well, you're right. Having your own business does give you some freedoms over a lot of other researchers who have to hope for funding and ways to finance their research. So fantastic. Well,
yes.
Let's start this off. I want to introduce you to our listeners. Dr. Sam Osmanić is a PhD anthropology professor and director of the Center for Anthropology and Archaeology at the American University of Bosnia, foreign member of the Distinguished Russian Academy of Natural Sciences, and you are a member of the Archaeological Society of Alexandria, and you've authored quite a few books, and it's interesting because one of your books is on the Maya, which I'm very, very interested in. I've done significant amount of research on my own, so at some point we may have to have you back to talk about that because it looks like you were fascinated by the Maya. It's interesting too. You did a 12-part episode. I guess it was a video episode or a program called "Search for the for The Lost Civilizations, which was based on your book called Civilizations Before Beginning of the Official History, which I hadn't heard about, but I'm definitely going to take a look at it and maybe post that to our website, a little more information. Now, you discovered these pyramids, pyramidal-shaped hills in 2005, and I mean, what were you doing when you discovered these? Were you out to find archaeological remains because you had an interest in archaeology, or I mean, what was it that triggered these structures? Because, you know, in nature, there's a lot of mountains and pyramidal shaped hills that could be considered, you know, man made. But what was it that attracted you to this area?
Well, I've been researching pyramids and the ancient civilizations for 3 decades now, writing about 15 books on the subject. And I realized that what they've been telling us about the pyramids is wrong. They're telling us pyramids are built in Egypt and Mexico. Mm-hmm. In reality, they are found on all 6 continents. I've been investigating pyramids in China, 250 of them in the central Chinese province of Shanxi, 7 pyramids on island of Mauritius in the middle of the Indian Ocean, Western Java, Indonesia, Cambodia, Nubian pyramids in Sudan, 103 pyramids on Canary Islands, especially the biggest one, Tenerife, 300 pyramids in Peru, pyramids in Bolivia, of course, tens of thousands of pyramids in Mesoamerica, Mexico, mm-hmm. Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Belize, Cahokia pyramids here in the States, in southwestern corner of the state of Illinois. And when I came to Bosnia in 2005 to visit the local town of Visoko, the reason was visit to the local museum. And then in front of me, towering the town, was what they called Natural Hill. But then I'm looking, mm-hmm. I see 4 sides, triangular faces, obvious corners, the same slope from the bottom to the top. I'm taking my compass, and compass is showing me perfect orientation of the sides to the cardinal points, east, west, north, south. And based on my previous experience in China, where all the pyramids are oriented toward the north. In Egypt, mm-hmm. all old pyramids, north, most of the Peruvian, some Mexican, all Cahokia pyramids. So they got all the good orientation to the cosmic north. So based on those 2 elements, perfect geometry and perfect orientation, I immediately knew that what I have in front of me was a huge artificial structure that's been covered by soil and vegetation after thousands of years.
Okay.
Now, that was the year 2005, spring. And then, as a physical individual, I asked permission from the regional government to start some preliminary search, geological core drilling, archaeological trenches, and I was doing that in 2005. So by October of 2005, I published my first book about the discovery of the Bosnian pyramids, which I named the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, across mm-hmm. the valley, another perfectly geometrically shaped hill, which I named the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon. And in that particular book, the first one 10 years ago, I said that we were going to discover a network of underground tunnels. So that was the beginning. And soon after I announced the news to the world, I received 12,000 emails of support from mm-hmm. all over the world. And then I realized, hey, this is not a one-man show. This is the discovery, the cultural heritage that belongs to the planet.
Exactly.
I tried to talk to some of the institutions, university, Department of Archaeology, National Museum, but they had no interest in collaboration. Mm-hmm. They were laughing at me, saying, well, we did not have pharaohs in Bosnia, therefore we cannot have pyramids. So
let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for a minute, Sam. Mm-hmm. The thing that's interesting is when you made your press release, or your you basically said there is pyramids in Bosnia, You received quite a bit of opposition from people like Zahi Hawass, Dr. Robert Schock, but at the time, they were looking and thinking of traditional pyramids, pyramids that were built stone by stone. Did they understand that what you had discovered was a man-made pyramid formed for a specific reason? Did they understand that, or did that come out later?
They did not, and they have not. The thing is, they rely on traditional description, which is given to us by Egyptologists, archaeologists, by Encyclopedia Britannica, stating that the pyramids in Egypt are tombs for pharaohs, the pyramids in Mesoamerica are the places for the human sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Instead, what I am proposing is, if we want to call something a pyramid, they need to fulfill a set of scientific criteria. And by today, I have 10 of them. So, for example, number one, I'm saying, first they need to fulfill the criteria of geometry. You have to have a geometry of pyramids. In the case of Bosnia, four sides, triangular faces, corners. They meet at apex. Number two, construction material. In Peru, they use adobe bricks. In Guatemala, volcanic stones. In Mexico and China, sandstone and granite. In Egypt, limestone and granite. Mm-hmm. In Bosnia, they made concrete from the river conglomerate. The next is the side orientation. In China, Mexico, other countries, we have orientation to the cardinal points. In Bosnia, comparing to the Great Pyramid of Egypt, it's more precise. In Egypt, error from the perfect true north, 0 degrees, 2 minutes. In Bosnia, according to the State Institute for Geodesy, 0 degrees, 0 minutes, 12 seconds. The next, inner chambers and passageways, and we got them through the geophysical measurements. The next one, underground tunnels. In Bosnia, it's the most extensive network of prehistorical tunnels. The next one is the water. We have two major rivers in town of Visoko, rivers Fornica and Bosna, and a lot of underground water flows. The next element, sacred geometry. We know that in Egypt, they applied number pi, 3.14, number phi, 1.618. In Bosnia, we have square root of number 2 and number 3, which are the irrational numbers, the same like number pi and phi, plus three major pyramids in Bosnia, sun, moon, dragon, form equilateral triangle when we connect their tops on topographical map. The distance, 2,180 meters, or 1.3 miles. The next thing, we have astronomical features. We can follow the movement of the shadow of the sun pyramid. At the sunset, the shadow covers the moon pyramid completely. It's like, you know, the rule of day and the sun is over, and the rule of the night and the moon starts. Mm-hmm. Finally, the position is very important. The pyramids, the oldest, the biggest, the most superior, are always located above powerful energy sources, energy-potent places. In the case of Bosnia, we have several of them. Iron ore, which is source for the electromagnetism, a lot of underground water flows at different depths. If you have two of them parallel, different depths, you have electricity generated. Next, the water moves, releases negative ions, and finally natural magnetism. And then you place the pyramid on top, which is the most powerful geometrical shape. The pyramid starts amplifying the energies. So if you have those nine elements fulfilled, then you have the result. What is the result? The pyramid as the energy machine. We were measuring with the support of the physicists, electrical engineers, sound engineers, using scientific instruments, very interesting electromagnetic phenomena. We have energy beam going through the top of the sun pyramid, 28 kilohertz frequency, 13 feet radius. It's focused, it's continuous. Mother Nature does not do that. We measure ultrasound, also ultrasound beam of 13 feet, and we have ultrasound at the regular distances, also 28 kilohertz frequency. So it seems that somebody made this energy machine that's been working continuously for a very long time. Now,
okay,
you asked me about the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You are right. First, when we said that we were going to start excavating the Bosnian pyramids in April of 2006, first the Bosnian archaeologists, geologists, anthropologists, historians, museum curators signed a petition asking the government to stop digging even before we started.
I remember reading about that, yeah.
The Bosnian prime minister came to the site. We just started excavating on the Sun Pyramid, and 3 feet below the soil, we discovered rectangular blocks. He came there, he said, well, these are man-made concrete blocks. He saw a lot of tourists. He said, this is good for the economy. Mr. Osmanagic, keep digging. Don't worry about the jealous scientists. Now, the local archaeologists got connected with the European Archaeological Association and their president, Dr. Anthony Harding from UK, asking his help. He was writing another petition signed by his friends from Germany and France and UK and US that are saying this is the biggest hoax. We don't know what you are doing. We don't have experts. We are destroying existing sites. And all this stuff can be found on the internet today. The second petition was rejected. And then they sent a letter to the National European Association in Italy, France, Germany, Slovenia, Croatia, Poland, asking them to boycott the project, threatening archaeologists, if they go to Bosnia, when they go back to their country, they won't be able to find a job. So in 2006, I don't have archaeologists from Europe. I went to Egypt, asked their help. They sent me 3 experts. The first one to come, Dr. Ali Barakat, man with 4 years of experience in archaeology, geology. He spent 42 days in Bosnia, wrote scientific report, read at the press conference in Sarajevo, June 23rd, the last sentence, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is a man-made pyramid.
Wonderful,
now,
yeah.
Archaeologists from Bosnia are sending letters to his boss, Pharaoh Dr. Zahi Hawass, telling him, your man was in Bosnia. He confirmed the existence of the pyramids in Bosnia. You need to do everything to stop him. 2 days later, Zahi Hawass is having a meeting with the Ministry for Culture, Ministry for Tourism, and his Supreme Council for Antiquities. One topic on agenda, effects of the Bosnian pyramid discovery on tourism in Egypt. Now, this is 2006. 2 years before the recession, everybody's having money, everybody's traveling. In Egypt, 15 million tourists just to see Egyptian pyramids, leaving $20 billion to the Egyptian economy. Imagine 20% tourists instead of Egypt going to Little Bosnia. 20%, $4 billion. So obviously, discovery of Bosnian pyramids is not a local issue. It's a global scientific, economical, and political. After the session of the government, Zahi Hawass is coming in the front of the reporter saying there are no pyramids in Bosnia. Those concrete blocks are actually natural blocks. Ali Barakat is not an expert for the pyramids, and Dr. Osmanagic is hallucinating. Poor Barakat is going back to Cairo, to the Ministry of Geology, where he used to work, and he got fired because he dared to speak his own mind without asking his supervisor first. What did we do? Well, we kept hallucinating, working there, digging, and in the last 10 years, it has become the most active archaeological site in the world with several hundreds of volunteers every summer, tens of experts, scientific conferences every September, 50,000 tourists every year, and I must say this is the most open project in archaeology ever. Usually, when it comes to the pyramids, we know that the secrets they have, they go back 12,000 plus years. Most of the information are hidden by the elites, or we are getting selective information In our case, we said there will be no elite science. We are open for mm-hmm. anyone, and that's the reason why non-professionals can come and become a part of the discovery. Everything we do it in mm-hmm. a different, more open way.
Let's talk about these this type of a pyramid, because since your discovery in 2005, there's been a couple of different discoveries of similar type of pyramids. One's in Java at the Penang Gunung Penang site, which has the similar type of a mountain that's formed with massive stones. And then there's another one in South America. I can't actually remember the location, but it seems to be that there are, or there should be, a new classification for pyramidal structures that should be on the book somehow. But I guess, other than what you have found, and also what Dr. Danny Hillman in Indonesia has discovered, no one else is really talking about these types of man-made pyramidal structures. In other words, a natural hill being centered on top of a electromagnetic pulse or telluric energy is then formed into a pyramid shape, and then we don't really know how they were used at this point. But I mean, you've written a book about it, and is it to your knowledge, is this slowly coming to light that these types of pyramids are being classified as true pyramids?
Well, we have started the whole revolution here. My classification of the pyramid is we have the oldest, the biggest, the most superior pyramids, which are actually energy machines. What is the mm-hmm. ratio between artificial and natural is not so important, as long as they give energy results. And then you have those that came later, which are actually replicas, but in the case of China or Egypt or Mexico, you know, the Chinese or Egyptian emperors simply did not have knowledge or technology to repeat those construction feats. In Egypt, the oldest pyramids, you have limestone and granite. In the mm-hmm. Second largest Khafre pyramid, you have 220-ton block of granite, which was moved from Aswan 600 miles to the south. Mm-hmm. Similar things you have in China, even though the Chinese government does not want to give permissions to investigate the oldest pyramids. In Java, Western Java, Dr. Danny Hillman did a remarkable job. He's a geologist with a PhD from California. He can read, actually, geophysical maps and georadar. He discovered this pyramid, which is 330 feet in height, built from the shaped volcanic stones. And mm-hmm. actually, there are like four cultural layers, and the pyramid, which is at the bottom, is the oldest. It goes back 23,000 years. And of course, exactly. he had a lot of obstacles by the local archaeologists. Only with the help of the president of the country, who gave him 200 soldiers, he was able to continue his research. The pyramids in South America, Ecuador, we are still not sure, because we can see one side, we can see the slope, we can see the blocks, but we don't know about three other sides. The pyramids in Peru, mostly built from the adobe bricks. In Brazil, Amazon, it seems that there are several pyramids there, but also hidden in the jungle. Like I said, the world of the past was the world of the pyramids. Now, the mm-hmm. question is, it's not only about changing our history books and the way we view the ancient past. The question is, what can we do with that pyramid knowledge for our civilization? I know in our case, you know, we discovered the biggest pyramids on the planet. The Bosnian pyramids are one-third higher than the Great Pyramid of Egypt. The second thing, they are the oldest. So history books are telling us Sumerians were first 7,000 years ago, then Babylon, Akkad, Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient India. But in reality, this is just the last cycle of humanity. Before this one, there was another one, which ended 12,000 years ago in the global catastrophe, and another one, 18,000, another one, 55 and 75,000 years ago. We simply live in the fifth cycle of humanity. The Bosnian nice. Pyramids belong to two cycles before ours. How do we know that? Well, in the series of the radiocarbon dating of organic material, they realized that, for example, the fossilized leaves that we discovered below the first row of blocks, the first layer of concrete blocks, and above the second one, like in the sandwich. We sent them for the analysis, the radiocarbon lab. They told us the age was 34,000 years, meaning during the construction, wind was blowing, bringing those leaves, and they remained there covered by the last row of concrete blocks. So 34,000 years, we change everything. So we need to change the history books, because when you change the beginning, everything that follows has to be changed. And finally, right, we are coming to the most exciting question. What was the purpose of pyramids? And like I said, we've been using energy experts, the true scientists, because archaeologists, they don't know. Nobody teaches them about the true purpose of pyramids, or geologists, or Egyptologists, or anthropologists, or museum curators. And the most obstacles for our project is coming from those circles, because they do not understand. When they don't understand, they either laugh at you or they attack you. But 20 or 50 years from now, they will follow our step. So we realized the pyramids are actually, number one, about the scientific aspect. Number two, about energy aspect. Number three, about the spiritual aspect. But not spirituality in the sense of religion, but spirituality in the sense of developing the spiritual senses. Besides our five physical, we have 30 spiritual senses. We can see more, feel more. We can communicate telepathically, telekinesis, teleportation, seeing aura, healing, and so on and so forth. And in the proximity, close proximity of the pyramids, but also megalithic circles and also megalithic stone balls, our aura field is improved, getting bigger, energy flow through our chakras more smoother, and then we can develop our spiritual senses. And the fourth aspect that we have in the Bosnian Pyramid Project is a healing aspect. Now, I mentioned that we have the most extensive underground tunnel network built in the prehistorical times. It runs for tens of miles. In those tunnels, we've noticed that people feel good. Deeper they go, they breathe better and better. People with asthma, when they leave the tunnels, they breathe so good they don't need inhalators, the air pumps no more. People with the pains, they got out, the pains are gone. People with allergies, allergies are gone. People with the high blood pressure, it gets normalized. People with the risky group, as far as the sugar in the blood, it gets normalized. So we've been looking for scientific explanation what was happening inside. We found out concentration of negative ions in the tunnels is extremely high. Medical science knows that negative ions, they clear the atmosphere from dust, they raise the level of oxygen in our body, and they kill viruses and bacteria. Now, Cliff, in your office, in my office, we got around 100 negative ions per cubic centimeter, which is very low. We get outside to the downtown, 400. In the village, 800. By the river, 1,500. On the top of the mountain, in the forest, 4,000. And guess what? In the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 40,000. So it seems that somebody was building underground healing facility. The element number two, to explain these healing properties, we live on the surface of the planet. A lot of cosmic radiation is coming our way, some of them very harmful for us, and our body cells fight them. In the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 120 feet below the ground, no cosmic radiation. Element number three, natural radioactivity. We took, you know, Geiger counters. We were measuring radioactivity. The values are 10 times lower than the minimum allowed. So the moment you get into the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, there are no negative radiations, no cosmic rays. So your body cells don't have enemies no more. They can start doing their job. What is their job? To fix the problems in the body, to start the regeneration process, to start the self healing process. And that's the reason why we've been having so many testimonies about blood or sugar or, you know, all other stuff being resolved with only one visit to the tunnels or being on the top of the Bosnian pyramids. So now we are getting close to answer the question, what was the true purpose of the pyramids? It's not what Encyclopedia Britannica is suggesting, that they were tombs for the pharaohs, they were built for one dead body, but they were built to last thousands of years and to serve the living communities. Number one, health. Number two, it improves the molecular structure of anything. We have pyramid water in the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, which is healing water. Number three, food. It improves the molecular structure of the food. Number four, it clears the air. Number five, it raises immunity. Number six, for spiritual purposes, it improves your aura and energy flow. Number seven, the energy beam going through the top of the Bosnian pyramid can be used for the communication purposes, not planetary, but interplanetary communication. Number eight, to adjust the climate, and so on and so forth. So the pyramids have been the most complex energy machines ever.
That's fascinating. Can you, at this point, can you give us an idea of what you think the human types were that built these pyramids based on, I mean, they must have been extremely sensitive to energy, number one, because they built it on top of, a natural emitting energy telluric field, but and then they were able somehow, you haven't found it yet, but maybe there's some form of a machine, which is stonework or some kind of rock formations that amplify the energy in the pyramid. But my question is, what do you guess would be the level of sophistication of the humans or humanoids who built these pyramids?
Well, in archaeology, there are five questions that need answers. What is this? Who built it? When, how, and why? And we are answering on most of them at the same time. What is this? It's a huge pyramidal complex. Who? We do not have the answer to that question. When? Most probably 34,000 years ago. How? Well, on how, we can see that, for example, they built concrete, and they cover the pyramid. Now, when it comes to concrete, they use all the natural materials. Instead of cement as a binder, they use clay. They heated clay. They were using pebbles and rocks and sand and water, the same thing that we use today, just the binder was different. And clay is excellent binder. Now, quality of the concrete. Our concretes today are in the range, when it comes to hardness, from 10 to 60 megapascals. Quality on Bosnian pyramids, from 73 to 134. So it's two or three times of better quality than what we can do today in 21st century. So we can tell, yes, there are very advanced builders. The next thing, we can see that they knew energy fields, they knew frequencies. For example, the frequency of 28 kilohertz of the ultrasound is very important. American Ralph Ring was experimenting with the frequencies of the ultrasound, 21, 22, 23. When he came to 28 kilohertz, he had a ping pong, table tennis ball above the speakers. And the balls at this particular frequency to levitate. He went to bed, leaving the machine on, came back next morning, the ball was still in the air. Meaning he discovered the levitation frequency. And guess what? The pyramid builders in Bosnia knew about this frequency 34,000 years ago. So those builders were very advanced. They were designing and executing those pyramid projects in order to get very particular frequencies, vibrations, sound, and ultrasound. And it's always about the vibrations and energy field. Now, we mentioned that the pyramid amplifies existing energy sources. How do we know that? Two of my Russian colleagues, Professor Havrushkin, Professor Tsiplakov from the Schmidt Institute, of the Russian Academy of Natural Sciences from Moscow. They spent two seasons with us in Bosnia. They've been doing the measurements at the base of the pyramid, close to the top. Close to the top, the strength of the signal was 50 times stronger, meaning something's happening inside the pyramid. And we know what? Inside the pyramid, we have a network of tunnels on 7 different levels. And those tunnels, they're laid out like a spiral. So this energy coming from the underground, going from underground tunnels, coming to the pyramid, going and spinning through those 7 level of passageways, and it's getting out through very small radius of 13 feet, extremely strong. And then we measured the strength of the signal leaving the pyramid. So we were on the top, 10 feet higher, another 10 feet higher, later on with the drone, about 300 feet higher, and then we realized the signal was getting stronger and stronger as it moves away from the pyramid. Now, that was a surprise for the physicists because they said, hey, our technology works differently. Closer to the source of the energy, the signal is stronger. You move away, it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, let's call this Hertzian technology. But in the case of Bosnia, it's different. Well, everything is upside down in this little country of Bosnia, so our pyramids work differently. You move away from the pyramid, the signal is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Let's call this non-Hertzian technology. In the 21st century, we do not have technology based on non-Hertzian waves. However, the guy who was born only 200 miles to the west from the pyramids was experimenting with this type of technology in his lab in Colorado Springs in 1899 and 1900, and his name was Nikola Tesla. Tesla invented what we call today Tesla's coil or transformer, with which he was able to send the signals, energy beams, wirelessly from one end of his lab to another one, 55 feet away. And he was able to light up the light bulb, even if the light bulb was burned. And just before they are going to burn down his lab, because he was becoming a threat to the mainstream science, he did the last experiment. He sent the energy beam to the ionosphere around our planet. This beam reflected, coming back to the Earth, much stronger, non-Hertzian phenomenon, and then he lit up 10,000 homes in Colorado Springs. So for the first time, one scientist from our civilization cycle has proven that clean energy was possible, that unlimited quantities of energy were possible, that non-Hertzian phenomenon was possible, that wireless transportation of the energy was possible, and finally, that free energy was possible. Have American corporations accepted this invention? Of course not. How would J.P. Morgan sell the free energy and make money? So he cut the funds for Nikola Tesla, and with his colleagues, billionaires, starting investing money in very expensive hydro, thermal, nowadays nuclear power plants, building very expensive transformers, building very expensive electrical cables, in which we lose 20 to 50% of the energy, so they can sell it to us, the public, end users, for a lot of money. And this is what is called profit economy. But one day, free energy will become available to all of us. And that will be the first pillar of the free society.
Are you saying that Bosnia?
Free flow of energy.
Interesting. Yes. Do you think that this energy pulse that's coming out of the pyramid has unchanged for thousands of years, or has it been changing constantly? And is it there to modify the environment? Because I've seen pictures of this beam, measurable. It's being measured. You can't see it, obviously, but. I've seen the analysis of it, and it looks like it's like a pulse, and it's attracting. It was built for a certain reason. Do we know? Do these Russian scientists have a knowledge of what it's doing, or is it just too advanced for us?
Okay, this is what I'm saying. On the top of the pyramid, first we had physicists from Zagreb, Slobodan Mizrak. he measured the presence of 28 kilohertz frequency electromagnetic mm-hmm. beam. Then we had a scientist from Belgrade, Serbia, Goran Marjanovic, electrical engineer. He confirmed the same frequency. Then we had another engineer, sound engineer from Finland, Heikki Savolainen, and anthropologist Paolo De Bertolis from Italy. And all four of them, at four different times, using their own equipment, confirmed the same phenomenon. In other words, it was like international independent verification of this phenomenon, existence of energy beam. And now we know the frequency, the radius, is focused and it is continuous. Then, since 2007, we have been filming the pyramid with a special camera. It's called PIP camera, developed by British scientist, biologist Dr. Harry Oldfield. Through this camera, you can view what he calls bioenergy fields.
Interesting.
Not visible to the human eye. So we can see in 3D, in the film, how the energy is getting accumulated inside the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, and then it is getting released through the top. In 2007, 9, 11, 13, 14, 15, we've been filming it. It's always the same effect. It's always this beam going, the energy going, getting released through the top of the pyramid. Now, we can also see, when we look at the natural hills, natural mountains, that above those mountains, that those natural bioenergy fields, they are always horizontal and still. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, sun, moon, dragon, earth, and love, those fields are always vertical, meaning there is a constant flow of the energy through the top of the pyramid. So now we know that at least for 8 years, the pyramid has been working. I have no doubt that it's been working for tens of thousands of years. The only difference is the strength of the signal. Now we can see the frequency, 28 kilohertz frequency, and that's probably the original frequency they wanted. But the strength of inside this frequency is not like before. Today it is expressed in millivolts and volts, and I believe before, especially before the end of the last ice age, when our planet was much stronger, ozone layer 6 times thicker, I believe the strength was thousands of times stronger than today. And another reason why it is not so strong, we can see that all these tunnels that lead to the pyramid, and it's a huge labyrinth with the energy flow through those labyrinths. We know that most of the tunnels have been sealed off. They are filled with the material, with the filler material, with the stones and pebbles and rocks, and they've been closed with the drywalls. There is not energy flow coming to the pyramid anymore. If we clean at least partially some of them, we will see pyramid getting much stronger. So it's a huge energy machine. And this is so different and so new. And no wonder that programmed archaeologists and Egyptologists cannot understand what's happening on this project.
It's fascinating because it seems like they're simpler to our mind, but in many ways they're much, much more complex pyramids than what we understand. That's probably the problem for Egyptologists, is that they're like, no, this is not of any kind of construction that I've ever seen, and so they kind of prefer to be negative in your discovery rather than being positive and saying you have something here. But you know, it's funny because there are a lot of scientists that actually believe you have something. But anyhow, I want to move on, and I want to talk about this labyrinth of tunnels that you found, and not only the labyrinth, what you found inside of them. Have you found any of these labyrinths leading to rooms that would have been used for meetings or living purposes of any kind?
Well, so far, after we have cleaned and secured 1,700 meters, which is almost 6,000 feet, we have discovered 6 chambers. They are between 300 and 500 square feet. In surface, some of them being 13 feet in height, and most of them having 6, 7, 8, or 9 side tunnels leading to those chambers. So obviously there were important places, whether they were meeting places or whether, you know, certain energy flow was coming there. You know, we need to find out that, you know, that. But the next thing we are finding out are blocks. They look like sandstone blocks, but after we've done analysis in the Institute for Atomic Physics, we were told that it was actually ceramic, synthetic ceramic. And some of them are 4, 8 tons, 18,000 pounds. There is one piece which is probably close to 100 tons. It's a huge, and these are the signs of very advanced technology. What was the role of these blocks? Well, we realized that especially sensitive people said, hey, this is excellent energy, it's a healing energy, excellent for the meditation, excellent for the clarity, and different blocks, different features, but all of them very good. And then when we had our electrical engineers, we found out that the frequency there is about 7, 8, 9 hertz, the Schumann resonance, which is the ideal energy field. We also know that if you find 3 hertz, for example, it's ideal for microbes, viruses, bacteria, cancer. But if you find 7, 8, 9, it's like a healing energy field. That's exactly what you're finding there. How they were getting those frequencies and fields they needed? Well, you know, the help of dowsers and other researchers, now we know that they very carefully planned where to position those blocks. For example, we have one which is about 800 pounds. We call it egg-shaped block. It is positioned above the Hartmann intersection. Now, people know that there are underground energy flows. One of them is Hartmann grid. These are energy lines running east-west and north-south. It's about a foot and a half in wide, and the places they intersect, it's every 10 feet. They are, from a human standpoint of view, negative energy. But then, in ancient Sumer, when they were building their temples, they were placing those stone columns exactly on the intersection of the Hartmann grid so people don't go there. In this case, Bosnia, very similar situation. We have those blocks positioned on the intersection of Hartmann grid, and because of its content, we have quartz crystal, we have muscovite in those synthetic blocks. It seems that somehow they neutralize negative energy, transform it to positive, and amplify it. And that's the reason why they are so beneficial. So I would say we are finding so much knowledge from the ancient times, and there is so much potential for our civilization. And then finally, when it comes to the energy, look what we use for the energy. We use coal, which is the base for dirty industry. We use oil and gas, you know, limited resources. We use electrical cables. You're standing below them, they burn your brain cells. Instead, the ancients were using planetary energies that are clean. They are forever. They have unlimited quantities. They were using perfect geometrical shape, and the pyramid shape is the most powerful when it comes to the energy. So they were so smart because they live in a harmony with the nature. You ask me who built the complex. As a scientist, I have to stay open until we find the right answer. Right now, we don't have it. But they were extremely smart. They knew energies better than us. They knew frequencies better than we do. If they were human, it's very possible. There is a new science called anthropological genetics, which gives us, through DNA analysis, the age of every society. We know that the oldest people in Europe are the Basques in Spain and southern France, 55,000 years. The second oldest cultural oasis in Europe, the Balkan, and Bosnia is in the center of the Balkan, 38,000 years. And number three, Ukraine, around the Black Sea. So all three were located in southern Europe, because northern Europe, of course, we had the Ice Age, you know, a mile thick layer of ice. But in the south, no ice. The climate was only 3 degrees less a little bit colder than today, but still very pleasant. So, in central Bosnia, in today's Visoko, we have excellent climate, we have a lot of green. If you have forest, you have food, animals. If you have forest, you have wood, construction material. We had water, we had presence of intelligent man, so we had all the elements for the civilization. But they had to be very spiritual, and they were supposed to get a lot of their knowledge through the probably spiritual realm, based on spiritual senses. So that's if the builders were human. Personally, I'm open for other options. It can be whatever, extraterrestrials or inner terrestrials or beings from some other dimensions. Right now, we do not know. Once we find some definitive proof who built it, a tablet saying, you know, so-and-so built it on so-and-so age, then we can say, you know, for sure, now we know the builders. Right now, we can learn about them indirectly, about how good builders they were in execution, in design, in the frequencies, and that's very exciting. And I can say one more thing. This project
has
been
running
10 years.
Wouldn't it be nice to find some skeletal remains of somebody in that pyramid somewhere, so you could get a sense of them? You know, if it's a humanoid or it's an unclassified species of human that has died off or something, would really help in kind of clarifying, because you could analyze that and say, hey, these were different people. Or maybe they weren't. Maybe they're quite like us.
Yeah, that would be very, very nice. I agree with that. But, you know, 10 years in archaeology is just the beginning of the project. And right now we have 6,000 feet of open tunnels. That's probably 2 or 3% of the whole network. So who knows what you're going to find next? The beauty of the project is the biggest discoveries are still in the front of us. And for example, the height of the pyramid, we are saying 220 plus meters, which is about 700 feet. But that's probably the tip of the iceberg. I believe that, first of all, the pyramid goes all the way to the bottom of the valley, which is about 1,100 feet, and most probably below the ground. If that's the case, the biggest discoveries are still waiting for us underground.
Interesting. I want to talk about one of these mega ceramic sculptures. Specifically, I saw a video where you were describing it to some people who were visiting. And within the meeting, you also had some people who were noted for their psychic abilities. And this sculpture I'm describing is, you classify it as, it's a K2, which happens to be 8 tons, and it's... not a specific shape. It's very round and things like that. But some of the people that were sitting around you said that they were picking up certain energy or whatever, and they had heightened awareness. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it seems like some of the properties, and you did talk a little bit in the very beginning of our discussion about psychic enhancement, multidimensional thinking and clairvoyance and things like that. Is there something unique about K2?
When you come to K2, our mega ceramic block, first thing you feel, it's calmness. You sit over there, you feel so good. I talk to people from Peru and Brazil, Australia and Norway and Germany. I ask them how they feel. They say, well, we feel like we are at home. And indeed, they are at home because they are in the best energy fields. Then the Schumann resonance, 7.83, we go outside, it's already 15 or 16 hertz, which we feel as the pressure, as the stress. Inside the tunnels, especially around K2, it's such a calming, balancing, you know, feel. The next thing, people meditate, they feel very strong energy field. Some people think that there is some type of the gate. They can go through this gate. They can move through time and space. The next thing, they open their hands. They can feel tingling sensation in their fingers, energy going through their body. Sometimes you got some health issues, the heart or back, whatever. You know, they feel that energy is walking that area. I think they know they feel so good. So it seems that this energy of this block is giving us what we need. It balances our own energy. And it's amazing feeling when you are there. And so many healing testimonies. And I would say that the ancients knew what is the priority in our life. Health is, of course, one of them. People want to live healthy and prolonged life. But then other stuff, clarity, like you said, psychic enhancement. I mean, when you improve your aura field, when you expand your aura field, much easier for you to develop your spiritual senses. And I can see so many people telling us, coming to the Bardian Pyramid site was a life-changing experience. But in a true sense, I mean, you can see those people having smile on their faces. They walk in the tunnels, you know, they are helping us, they are getting, you know, the material out with the wheelbarrows. Sometimes it's hard, you know, walking activity. But they never feel tired. It's so special to be there. And frankly, it is hard to explain. The other day, like 6-7 weeks ago, I had two researchers, Michael Tellinger of South Africa and Valery Yovarov, pyramid builders from Russia, and we were in one of the side tunnels with the water and going through water for hundreds and hundreds of feet, spending hours and hours. We were kind of tired. We got around K2. We had such a feeling of bliss, not feeling tired. I mean, we were half wet. We did not feel that. And like I said, hard to explain, but the special feelings when you are in there.
That's amazing. In the few minutes we have left, Dr. Sam, I want to talk to you about this new discovery. And I just saw it. Somebody sent me an article that you had found, or somebody, one of your field excavators had found a new entrance tunnel. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And has anyone actually gone in and seen how far it goes?
Yes. Well, a couple of months back, we purchased additional property near the entrance to the tunnel. And it's about 60, 70 feet below. And while clearing the property from the dense forest and bushes, we discovered something that looked like a little cave. So we were, you know, enlarging that, and then we realized actually it was the entrance. So, you know, untrained eye would say, oh, it's like a cave. It is not a cave. I remember 10 years ago when I was looking for the entrance to the tunnels, I was talking to little kids in the Visoko. I asked them, are there any caves or holes or passageways? And then I was checking so many of them. So when I discovered this one, they call it natural cave. I went inside. I could see the ceiling, which was like half radius. I said, this is not natural. It's artificial. We started clearing it. And today, of course, we have this labyrinth. And now when I found this one, 20 meters or 70 feet below the level one, I realized has to be an entrance to the second level. And then we cleaned a little bit. It's about, you know, 20 feet. We realized everything is the same like at the first level. We have the conglomerate, river conglomerate, which is the material where the tunnels are, you know, dug in. Secondly, we can see the ceiling. Number three, we can see the filler material. Number four, we can see water coming out. So now imagine, below the valley of the pyramids, we have a huge network of tunnels. And now that was horizontal aspect. But now by discovering the second level, now we are adding vertical aspect, second, and most probably after talking to some psychic, they were telling me they feel there was a third level of tunnels, one, two, maybe even more. So it adds to complexity of this site. So it was not about the beauty. You don't see like a beautiful megalithic passageways, like, for example, in the tunnels of the Egyptian pyramids. But they were about the function. You have cavities, you have water running, releasing the negative ions, you have quartz crystal on the pyramid, inside the pyramid, below the pyramid, you have electromagnetism, iron plates. So all they needed was, you know, initial start, and it seems that the beginning of the tunnels, the water running, that would initiate the frequencies, the vibrations, and it would be going through tunnels all the way to the pyramid, and the pyramid would start to vibrate, creating certain frequencies and energy fields. And now, you know, everything is natural. They were using natural resources, but they were doing some engineering. Obviously, we know that below the pyramid tunnels, under every tunnel, there is a water flow. So they were using some existing natural underground waters. They were adding some canals. How they did that, hard to say, but, you know, the system is there. It works. Now, when you mentioned at the beginning the pyramid hill, that was the idea that some Egyptians were telling me probably there was a natural hill and they shaped it, they coated it with the concrete blocks. Well, actually, our Russian colleagues told us differently. They said from the top to the bottom, it's a non-compact material. It's not the process of sedimentation. There is no hill. It's a structure from bottom up. So now we are talking about superior builders. So, like I said, the biggest discoveries are still in front of us, and in order to understand that, we do need to think out of the box.
Well, it sounds like you're still very excited, and that's great because you've had a lot of opposition over the years, and a lot of people would be depressed by that and say, I give up, whatever, you're right. But you have a lot of passion, Dr. Sam, and it's amazing to hear your enthusiasm. It's wonderful. I want to thank you for being on the program, but I also want to let our audience know that you are conducting a Spring Equinox tour and conference this coming March, next year, by the way, March 14th through the 21st. And you want to talk just a little bit about that in the last minutes? It's a big deal. Our audience, people might want to come out and be a part of that.
Yes, of course. There are several ways to come and see the Bosnian Pyramid site. One of them is what you just mentioned. We organize tour and conferences. Three times next year, we call them Grand Tour. I'm going to host them. One is Spring Equinox, which is March 14, 21, 2016. Then Summer Solstice, June 14, 21. And September's Pyramid Power Conference, September 3rd, 10th. The second way to come is through our volunteer program, 11 days, 10 nights, June, July, August, September. The third way, people can simply, you know, come to the site, stay 2, 3, 7 days, as long as they want. But now the grand tours that we organize, they are very intensive. For 7 days, with the help of my co-hosts, very spiritual people, healers, in March, I have the guy from Germany, Gerald, who can see human aura, who can see the color of chakras. The second one, Sue Jones from England, she can see energies all around us. The third one, Amar from Bosnia, yoga master. Now, we give the full program every day. Every day we go to the one of the pyramids, sun, moon, dragon, cumulus, stone balls in Bosnia, three times going to the tunnels with meditation sessions, in the evening conferences. So for 1 week, people come, enjoy, they go home, new people. In order to come, visit our website, www.bosnianpyramid.org, bosnianpyramid.org, and people can come for a week. It's not expensive. It's about $1,000 for 7 days, and everything is provided, four-star. And the moment you arrive there, you know, we wait for you until the moment you leave. We take you to the airport. March is a good time because the air ticket fares are very low. So for $1,000, you can come to Bosnia. Another $1,000, you stay, you see the wonders of the ancient world, and you do something about your health, your spirituality, and you learn a lot about the science along the way.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. I definitely want to have you on the program again, possibly with some other people. This has been a real eye-opener. I didn't know the details that you described this wonderful discovery. And continued success on your discoveries.
Well, thanks a lot. You are all invited. I'm expecting to see you as well next year.
I will definitely be there one of these days. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. So that was Dr. Sam Osmanovic, and the foremost authority on the Bosnian pyramids. If you really were listening to what he had to say, he brings a whole new perspective into understanding pyramids. And the reason I really like him as a researcher is that not only does he look at the hard data, the carbon dating, the evidence of a number of different scans, discussing the pulse that's coming out of this pyramid. He discusses the effects on the human body, and this is something that I've been bringing up for the last year. And that is that it seems to me, and it's quite evident, that the previous civilizations understood subtle energy. And what that means is they understood the unseen, but they could feel this energy when they meditated, when they needed healing for whatever ailments they were dealing with. And they went to these pyramids and received this energy in the form of telluric fields, unseen electromagnetic fields. And Dr. Sam went into quite a bit of detail about people getting the effects. And, you know, it's just really refreshing to hear this. And this is very important to understand. The previous civilization used a whole different type of technology. It appears that they tapped into the earth, magnified this energy, and used it for a wide variety of applications, both healing, mental clarity, mental enhancement. And as we remember from John Burke and his work, seed propagation, seed agricultural development, and Jesus, just a wide variety of applications. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed that interview. We're going to have him on again. He, like if you heard in the beginning, he's based out of Houston. And if you have a chance to hear him live, if you're close to one of his seminars, definitely go hear him, because the slides selection that he presents is just mind-boggling with some of the stuff they've found. So I hope you enjoyed that. As a reminder, as we enter in the last month of the year, we have some really, really great presenters coming up. Next week, we have Graham Hancock, who I've been waiting to interview for, Jesus, a good year. And his new book, Magicians of the Gods, has just come out. And I was looking through it, and it's quite amazing. It's a monster book. It's over 350 pages, but it's filled with fascinating data. And I have just received five copies of the book, which I will be promoting on our crowdfunding campaign, which will start hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So I hope you'll consider that. The donation for that one, I think you'll get the book, you'll get a sweatshirt, you'll get some other recordings. I think the minimum is going to be $250 donation for that, plus some other special items, like perhaps coming on the air with me and talking about your interests and things like that. So the Earth Ancients crowdfunding is going to start up in a couple of weeks, and I'll give you more information next week. And also look at, check out Earth Ancients on Facebook. We have the international page, which is read by half a million people each week. And by the way, I just found out that if you didn't know it, we are on YouTube. And we've only been on YouTube less than a month, and already we've had a half million viewers. So that's really encouraging to hear. So if you can't get Earth Ancients on the streaming media, go ahead and look at it on YouTube. Now, the only thing about that is that the programming is going to be older. You're not going to have the newest episodes, but those older episodes are classics. There's some really great interviews. So anyhow, that's about it for today. Stay tuned. Hope to see you next time. Have a great day.